I'm so excited that we have this opportunity to be under the umbrella of God's grace and turn our attention to God's holy word. You received the card when you came in here, and that's really the passage of scripture that our lesson for the day is coming from. But I'm just so geeked, so excited about summer hits. I thank God for all of the wonderful songs that are being sung, songs that you remember, and truly, I'm just grateful for the summertime. Okay, I guess I'm the only one in here that's grateful for that. For the summertime. I love the summertime. I know most of you love the summertime when you're inside, but I love the summertime. I don't necessarily like the heat advisories that come, and truly we have to stay hydrated. But sometimes the summertime is really, particularly in Houston with the triple digits, sometimes it's an illustration of our lives. I don't mean the outside temperature, I mean on the inside. You know, when the heat advisory of life tends to beam on you. When trouble comes and it doesn't invite itself in. When things happen in life and the heat is on, what do you do when that kind of pressure comes? When it's so difficult in your life that sometimes it's hard to catch your breath. What do you do when you find yourself between a rock and a hard place? Do you even know what a rock and a hard place is? I got some people in here, right around here. You know this. What do you do when it seems as though the heat is personally on in your life? In those moments, it's good to have the word of God as a reminder, like Psalm 119, where he says, I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In those difficult times of life, which you will have if you live long enough, you'll experience some trials where you need to be reminded of God's love, like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. In your life, when difficulty happens, when dilemmas are much and crises come in, it's good to have scriptures committed to your memory, like Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Not some things, but all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. Well, for me, and you've heard Pastor Jeff say it, really, Cass, for me, when the struggle comes, when the heat is on, when the pressure accumulates in my life, the text that I run to, my life verse, is that which you have on your card, Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. Actually, if you have it, some of you, before I read it, you have already committed to memory. Some of us in here, you don't have to open your Bibles at all. You know this text. You've heard this before. You'll be moving your mouth along when I began to articulate it into your hearing. That Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, where Solomon writes, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, because the truth is that God can be trusted with all of your heart. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we exist under the umbrella of your grace, truly it is all about you, and it's to you we turn our attention. The truth is, if there's ever an area in our lives that we can grow in, it's in our trust in you. So help us in this moment that we might hear clearly from your word, that your word might be implanted deep within the soil of our hearts, that it might bring forth fruit for your glory, and that we might fully surrender and depend on you, knowing that you can be trusted. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Solomon writes this. He writes this to his son. And he writes it as a command because there are moments in our lives where we need to have the full assurance that we can place our confidence in God. So Brother Michael, he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. See, it's not that we don't know how to trust. We know how to trust. I mean, look at who you're sitting next to. You don't know them, but you sitting right next. Well, some of you do know them. Don't look at them right now. But we know how to trust. In fact, many of us have commuted here, driven here in vehicles we did not make because we trust the manufacturer. We trust the engineers. We trust the mechanics who put it all together that we might make it here safely. We know how to trust. In fact, many of you, when you leave here, you're going to go to restaurants and you're going to make your order. You're going to place your order and you're going to trust whoever's in the kitchen who you have never met before. That they're going to make a meal and you're going to eat that meal because you know, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know how to trust. In fact, I watched some of us in here. I saw you. I saw you. Larry, I saw you. You know, when it was time to sing, you stood up. And then when it was time to sit down, you sat back down. And then when it was time to stand up again, you stood up. And then when you were told to sit back down, you sat back down. And then that third time when he told you to stand up, you looked around like, do we have to stand up again? And you stood up, and then you sat back down. And Kim, what I noticed is that I didn't see anybody in all the getting up and the getting down. No one checked to make sure the seats were in the right position. No one checked to make sure the seat screws were tightened all the way. No one checked to make sure the seat would hold them. In fact, I bet none of you checked the weight capacity. I shouldn't have said that, brother. No one checked the weight capacity to see whether or not that seat would hold you up. No, all we did was we placed our full selves in the seat in which we were sitting. We just took all of our weight. We didn't try to assist it. Debbie, we didn't try to levitate with our feet to push us up a little bit. No, we just took all of us that we came in here with and we sat it on that seat. Well, come here. That's what trusting is all about. And the text tells us that we ought to trust God that way, that we ought to take the full of all that we are and trust God with all of our hearts because our God is worthy of being trusted. I hope you get that because really that's the message for the morning, and that is to trust God. You're going to hear me say it repeatedly because I want to make sure you get it because the message for the morning is to trust God. When you go to lunch later on in a moment, when you make your order and the waitress comes and asks you what the message was about, you're going to have it down. It is to trust God. In fact, let me go ahead and give a pop quiz. You didn't know it was going to come, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. What's the message about? That's right. It's about trusting in God because God is worthy of our trust. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, entirely. Because trusting God requires all of our heart, every aspect of our lives, that we are confidently placing in the care of a loving God. He says, trust in him. Solomon writes this for his son, but it's no doubt that Solomon learned this from his father David, who writes in Psalm 20 and 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. And believers, I want you to hear me, that in the areas of our lives we still are holding on to it. Today, God, by the Spirit of God, is challenging us. It is time for us to trust God with that. Whatever that is in your life, whatever that struggle is, it is time for us to trust God with it. It is what our Savior modeled in Gethsemane. When he was there praying in Gethsemane, in Luke 22, where he says, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." To fully trust the will of God in your life is the command that we have this morning. That we will be willing to give it all to him. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's entirely. And he says, and lean not. I'm sorry, that's King James. I cut my teeth on King James. So here it is. Lean not to your own understanding. Because in order to trust God with all our heart, we have to lean on God and not our own understanding. It's right there in the text. He says that we ought to shift the weight of our dependency from being dependent upon ourselves to being dependent upon God. Come here, let me tell you a secret. Come here. I know, you didn't really know this. I know you didn't really know this. It's been a long time since you really considered this. But lean in for a moment. Come. Listen. You are not always worth trusting. Oh, you need me to support that claim? You need me to back that up? Okay, let's see how many honest people we have in here. How many times you said that you weren't going to do something and you did it anyway? Now, I got some honest people on this side. We're going to pray for the rest of y'all, huh? How many times have you said, I'm not going to speak to him or her anymore, and then you... Yeah, I feel you right up here. The anointing of honesty is right here. The rest, I don't know here. But how many times have we said, I'm not going to eat that anymore? I'm not going to eat that anymore. No, I will not. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to eat it. And then that same week, somebody came with it, and you said, well, maybe just a little piece. Because the truth is that you are not always worth trusting. See, I knew I wasn't going to get any amens right there, so I brought my own. Proverbs 28 and 26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. That's the word of God. See what he says? He says, lean not to your own understanding, because the truth is, Chris, we have an understanding. We always have an opinion about the matter. We think about things and how we're going to get out of things and how we're going to handle things. But the truth is that our understanding is so fickle and flawed that we shouldn't place all of our faith in how we interpret it, because our understanding is flawed unless our understanding aligns with the will of God. I hope you caught that. That our understanding should not be trusted unless our understanding is in line, is aligned with God's word and God's will, which means if our understanding is contrary to the will of God, then our understanding is not the right understanding to go with. Oh, you're looking at me like you don't believe me. Okay. Have you been there before? Have you been there before where you're trying to get yourself out of it, and the more you dig, the deeper you were getting in it? Have you ever been there before where you're trying to fix it, and the more you try to fix it, the worse it got? Have you been there before where you trusted everybody except the right somebody, and then you realized that everybody was wrong until you went to God? Hear me, brothers and sisters. Trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding is not leaving God as a last resort. It is not exhausting all the options and then I get to God. No. It's starting with God first. It is seeking God and seeking his will for every moment of your life, trusting that God knows what is best for your life. He says, lean not to your own understanding. It's my prayer that we cultivate that kind of faith. That we cultivate the kind of faith that says that no matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter what circumstances seem to exist in my life, no matter what it appears to be, my confidence and faith will remain in God. It's that Habakkuk kind of faith. You know, Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, where he says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, the produce of the olive field and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. What Habakkuk shows is that there's a type of faith that no matter what's going on the outside, no matter what circumstances may be happening all around us, there's a type of faith that says, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to trust in God. Anybody ever been there before? Where everything around you was looking like it was going awry? Anybody ever been there before? Where trouble was on every side, and you said, no matter what I see, I'm going to trust in God. That's the faith that Job had. Job chapter 2. When everything that could go wrong went wrong, that's the kind of faith that he expressed. When in one moment he loses his employment, his employees, in one moment he's losing his possessions, and then personal tragedy of his children being taken. In that moment he says, naked I came into this world, and naked shall I return. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is what it means to trust God with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. It's to shift your weight to your faith. It's to shift your weight in the midst of uncertainty to what you know that is certain about God. It's to not lean on your own understanding. But then he goes on. He says, because trusting in the Lord requires all of your heart. Trusting the Lord requires that you don't lean on your own understanding, but rather you seek the wisdom of God and the word of God and the will of God for your life. But thirdly, trusting in God requires we acknowledge him in all of our ways. That we acknowledge him. That we realize that God has been active in our lives each and every day of our lives. That we acknowledge him. That we give God credit for what he has done in our lives. That in everything, we see that God has been intimately involved in our lives. He says, acknowledge him in all of our ways. This is an intimate, personal acknowledgement that God has been blessing me. It's what the saints of old used to thank God for, just because he woke you up this morning. It's those who are grateful that they could take a step. It's acknowledging that God kept you in your right mind when you gave everybody else a piece of your mind. It's that acknowledgement that the reason I'm here and the reason that I exist and the reason that I'm able to tell you what I've been through is because God's hands have been on me. It's recognizing that God has been blessing you and that God has been keeping you. Acknowledging him is being able to be in a crowd like this and say, you know what? I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Why? Because he's been good to me. The psalmist said it this way. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Which means if God blessed you in any way, you ought to say something about it. If God has picked you up and turned you around, you ought to say, yep, that's me. If God has watched out for you even when you weren't looking for him, but he was looking over you, you ought to say, yeah, that's me. If God has blessed you in any way, you ought to be able to say. Am I getting too excited in here? I feel it. I'm getting too excited in here. You know what? The kids are about to go to camp. I was at the student camp earlier this summer, and I walked around, and we were looking at what God was doing in the lives of all the kids, Chris, and they were there. And one of the kids came up to me, Andy, and said, "Hey, I know you." I said, "Oh, okay, well, I'm glad you know." He said, yeah, you're that preacher that's always excited. I said, "Well, I don't know how else to communicate good news. That if it's good news, then you ought to get excited about it." And it's good news that our God can be trusted. Not everybody in your life can be trusted. Not everybody in your life can be trusted with everything. But we have a God who does what he says he's going to do. We have a God who promises are backed up with a yes and an amen, and our God can be, get this, there is nothing about you that God doesn't already know. So you can trust God with everything about you because he already knows you. And in that he knows you, he loves you. And you can trust a God who loves you in spite of you. You can trust a God who's been looking out for you before you even had knowledge of him. You can trust a God who continues to keep you. You can trust a God who hasn't given up on you. So you don't give up on him. He says to acknowledge him in all of our ways. The Hebrew word here really speaks of recognizing. Recognizing that God has been active. I saw this. I saw this back in 2016. I still remember it because maybe you don't know this. I love to watch track and field. I really do. I love track and field, particularly with the Olympic Games. And I was checking out the 2016 Olympic Games, particularly the pole vaulting event, because at that time, my sons were pole vaulters. They were pole vaulters for Klein, my oldest and my youngest. And your prayer, if you ever want your prayer life to increase, watch your child go up in the up in the air. I'm just trying to tell you something here. But I was watching the 2016 Olympics, and as I watched the 2016 Olympics, something grabbed my attention because Sam Kendrick, Army reservist from the U.S., he was participating in the qualifying rounds for the pole vault. I remember it just like it was yesterday. He had his pole in his hand, and he began to run. He began to run with all his momentum and all his might, but then all of a sudden he stopped. Stood in attention and put his pole down. It was amazing because no one really does this, that when you're getting ready to qualify, you put all your weight for it, you keep on going for it, you hit the block so that you can extend over the bar. But yet, and still, when he was running, Sam stopped because he had recognized something. What Sam recognized, that in the midst of his qualifying round, that somebody was being medaled from the U.S., and so our country's national anthem was being played. So he heard it in the background, that the national anthem was being played, and even though he was running and even though he was trying to qualify, he had enough recognition to stop and give attention to the national anthem. Well, come here, saints of God. If God has blessed you in any way, when you are running through life and going forward, you ought to be able to stop and give attention and say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it because God has been good to me." Has God been good to anybody in this place? Has God watched over anybody in this place? And you can stop and say, "God has been good to me." This is acknowledging him in all your ways. Then something happens. There's a transition in the text. He says, "And he will make your path straight." I don't know who I'm speaking to on this morning. I don't know who the Holy Spirit is speaking to, but you need to hear me. Don't tune me out here, because the reality is that God has the ability. God has the ability to straighten some things out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Because some of us came in here crooked. Some of us, you know what your past was like. You know what life was like before God, and you can testify that when you placed your trust and your faith in God, He straightened some things out. That when you said yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you trusted Him as the way, the truth, and the light, some things got straightened in your life. That all of a sudden you experienced a love unlike any other love because you've placed your faith and your trust in God. Come here. I want you to understand something. That as some of us in here, God is saying, I can straighten it out. No matter what you're going through, God is saying, I can straighten that out. That if you just put your faith and trust in me, I'll take care of that and I'll take care of you. I love the way King James says. The King James says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I love that. That means then that God directs which way you're to go. That when you place your trust in Him, He'll say, nope, don't go right there because there's a pitfall right there. I got something better for you over here. And you follow Him and know that He's the one who's in control. I don't know where you are, but the Spirit is saying that some of us in here, it's time for us to truly trust in Him. I want to invite you to bow your heads all over the building because you know that area of your life that you haven't fully trusted Him. You know that area of life where you have not truly given up the reins and saying, God, I'm going to trust you with it. Maybe a child, maybe a challenge, maybe a situation, but God is calling you to trust Him. So would you just bow your heads all over the building and would you begin to speak to God? Would you speak to Him and begin to release? Release holding on and knowing that God is able to straighten it out. That He's able to transform it. In Luke, He says, every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill will be made low, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth, and all flesh will see the salvation of God. It is possible in your life.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.